I love the Lord. Come on, I know there's somebody else in here that loves the Lord. He heard my cry and pitied every groan. I just wish, just take about, just close your eyes for just 10 seconds and think about how the Lord has loved you and blessed you and kept you. I just wish you'd give him a mighty hand praise and throw your head back and say, thank you. Thank you. Thank you for loving me. Thank you for keep. Thank you. Hallelujah. Thank you, choir. Thank you, Mike. Good morning, St. John. I will pass this way but once. If there's any good that I can do, let me do it now. For I'll never pass this way again. I will see this day but once. If there's any kindness that I can show, let me show it now. For I'll never see this day again. Tomorrow may be too late, my friends, to do all the good that we've planned. Reach out right now to those who need you and lend them a helping hand, for I will know this world but once. If there's any love that I can give, let me give it now. For I'll never know this world. I'll never see this day. I'll never pass this way again. Good morning, my beloved. Good morning. I greet you in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ this morning. I'm standing. I ask you to continue to pray for our pastor who's on a well-deserved vacation and give him rest and restoration with let him enjoy his time with his family. We ask you to continue to pray for him. We ask you to pray for Reverend Osteen Truitt today. I'm standing in this place not to anything else because I'll never be that beautiful. I'll never be that good. So you'll just have to bear with me for the time that God has called us together. Because, bless the Lord, pray for Reverend Rostein. She's under the weather. See, in every good ship, there's a good captain. We have a good captain. But the captain depends on the rudder. Because if we don't have a rudder, the ship can go all off course and everything. We thank Osteen because I affectionately call her the rudder. Let's give God a hand praise for our assistant pastor. I love Reverend Magruder. Everybody needs a Reverend Magruder in their life. He said to me today, I got your back, whatever you need. That's all he said. He just does that, but he does it every day. To everybody, 24/7. We thank God for him and amen. Now, our youth pastor who is getting ready to take our youth on a retreat, he loves our babies, but I need to tell him that we love you, Reverend Harvey. You have your Bibles today. I ask you to open them up to John chapter 6, the 68th and 69 verse. But don't put your Bibles down after we do that, because then we're going to flip over to Philippians chapter 4 and read verses 10 through 13. When you have found John 6, 68, or you can look up on our screen, say amen. Let us read. Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. We have come to believe and to know that you are the Holy One of God. And now Philippians 4, 10 through 13, I rejoice greatly in the Lord that at last you renewed your concern for me. Indeed, you were concerned, but you had no opportunity to show it. I am not saying this because I am in need, for I have learned to be content, whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation. Whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want, I can do all things through him that gives me strength. Let us pray. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we love you and we adore you this day. We thank you for this time. Father God, this preaching thing is not something that I do, but it is something that you do through me. So I'm calling on the interpretive powers of the Holy Spirit to fall fresh upon this place. Because if it's not anointed by you, I won't say it right. If it's not anointed by you, we won't hear it right. If it's not anointed by you, we can't live it right. Spirit of the living God, fall fresh. I ask every morning that you decrease me and increase thee, so that my words of my mouth and actions of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. For you are my rock and my redeemer. For it is in the matchless, magnificent, and marvelous name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Then the people of God did say, amen. Amen. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. For just a few moments that I have with you today, I want to speak to you on the topic, Jesus is all that. I need you to look at your neighbor and look him right in the eye and tell him, Jesus is all that. That's the wrong neighbor. I've been wanting to say that for a long time. Look at the other neighbor and say, Jesus is all that. One day, the Apostle Paul looked out upon life, and he thought about all of the problems that we have. He thought about all the troubles that we go through. He thought about all of the burden that we bear, and then he said, who is sufficient for these things? I wonder today, my brothers and sisters, if there's anybody who has ever wondered about those same questions, about that same thought process. Troubles, burdens, sickness, racism, all that we're going through, and wondered how or who can help us. There is only one answer, my brothers and sisters, on this side of the cross. No human being, no matter how great they are, can meet every need in our life. But there is one who can meet our every need. His name is Jesus. He is an adequate and all-sufficient Savior. Somebody ought to say amen. Amen. He can meet our every need in life. In him and with his help, we can face up to life and all of its problems. Our text today takes place just after Jesus had fed the 5,000. He had proven that he could meet men's physical needs. Now the crowd began to gather around him. They cared nothing about him, but just for what he could do for them. They were not interested in him as Savior. They simply wanted something for nothing. So Jesus preached a sermon to them, a sermon in which he appealed to them to surrender their lives, surrender their understanding, surrender their tradition, surrender their thoughts. A sermon in which he demanded that they give instead of receive. They were willing to follow him as long as he was feeding them and requiring nothing in return. But when he began to shift the paragraph, shift the atmosphere to tell them what would be required and expected of them if they continued to follow him, the great crowd turned away and went back to the world. My brothers and sisters, I might know a few people that think that's what's happening in the world today. Let a pastor or a preacher or a deacon preach about the free grace of God. Let him tell about all a man can receive as a Christian. Let him tell of heaven and the joy in the by, and men will follow him and call him a great speaker, a great teacher. But let him call upon people to forsake the world and follow Jesus. Let him ask for money for the work of the gospel, to feed our hungry, to feed our widows, to feed our babies. Let him ask for them to go out into the highways and the hedges to witness for Christ. Let him bring people into the church and tell them to sit in your pew and you feel uncomfortable, but good God, have mercy. They will turn their backs and walk away. It's easy for some people to say amen when the preacher speaks about what Christ gives us, but they are strangely silent when he speaks of what we should give Christ or to the preacher. Somebody ought to say amen. Yes, as the crowd began to leave, Jesus sadly turned to his disciples and said, "Will you go away also?" And bold Peter, who often said some of the things that in history might have been seen as maybe wrong, said the right thing this time. He said, "Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life, and we believe that and are sure that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." There are many different kinds of people in the world, the rich and the poor, the young and the old, the ignorant and the educated. But fundamentally, they're all alike and have the same basic needs. We all need forgiveness for our past. We all need strength and guidance for our present life. We all need hope for the future. As we look over our past, we all can see I'm talking to myself right now, y'all. I'm just inviting y'all into the room. As we look over our past, we can all see one sin after another along the way. If nothing is done about our sin, we will forever be separated from the presence of God, and we'd be thrown into eternal hell. Look at your neighbor and go, "Uh-oh." Sin is like a great rock tied around our neck, pulling us down into the depth of the sea. Only Christ can cut the rope that causes us to drown. Only Christ can rescue us from destruction and death. Sin is like a cloud between us and God. Only Christ can melt that cloud and enable us to see the face of God. Jesus was preaching in a certain house when four men went out and brought a sick man and placed him before him. Jesus said to the sick man, "Thy sins are forgiven thee." The crowd began to murmur, and someone said, "That's blasphemy." Good God, have mercy. That's blasphemy. Only God can do that. Only God can forgive sin. But Jesus was God in the flesh, and the power to forgive sin was invested in him. To prove a point, he healed the man and sent him on his way. My brothers and sisters, on this side of the cross, the church cannot forgive sin. The priest, the preacher, cannot forgive sin. The deacons, the trustees, cannot forgive sin. Only God can forgive sin, and Jesus is God in the flesh. John tells us that the only reason the blood of Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, can cleanse us from our sin, and because of that cleansing, we are able to reign with God and Jesus in heaven. Jesus' blood was sufficient enough for us. Jesus is all that. Not only do we need forgiveness from our past, but we need strength and guidance for our present life. Some people go to the fortune teller for guidance. Some people call the physics network on HSN, and some people write to the newspaper columnist to get their scopes or whatever they're called, and some consult their friends. But I'm telling you right now, we are all a human, and no human can give us the perfect guidance. I'm reminded of a story about the frog going and saying to the fortune teller, saying, "I want you to tell me if I'm going to find true love." And the fortune teller looked at the frog and said, Yes, you are. You will find a beautiful woman who will love you, and she will cherish you and look at you with adoration at every moment that you are together. And you will end up giving her your heart. And the frog said, oh, thank God. He said, where will I find this woman? And the fortune teller told her, in the biology class. Some of y'all will think about that. Y'all will get that when y'all go home. Y'all will laugh and go, oh, I see where he was going. But the Holy Bible tells us where to seek guidance. The Bible says in James 1:5, if you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, let that he giveth all men liberally and unbraideth not, and it shall be given unto him. Jesus knows our past and our present and our future. There's no uncertainty in him. He sees the end from the beginning to the end. Nothing will ever come upon us that is not known to him. And because he knows all about us, he can help us. Jesus is all that. Before a person is converted, he has temptation on every side, together with sorrow and headaches. After conversion, you may still have these things, but there's a difference now. Before the conversion, you were all alone as you faced these things. But after the conversion, you have someone to help you, the Lord Jesus Christ. He is all that. Whatever you have in need of today, Jesus is ready to supply. Jesus is alive. Jesus is real. He can help us when life's problems become too complex and life's burden become too heavy. We need forgiveness for our past. We need strength and guidance for our present. But lastly, we need hope for the future. If the Lord tarry, we all should go through the experience of death. You can stay away from the church. You can fail to read your Bible. You can say no to the Holy Ghost. You can reject God's offer of salvation. But there is one agent and officer of God that you cannot put off, and that is the angel of death. It will claim us all. When God sends him to write the end of your life, you cannot push him away. You cannot say, come back tomorrow or next week. You are powerless against the death angel. The Bible says it is appointed to men once to die. But after this is the judgment. My brothers and sisters, on this side of the cross, when the doctors and nurses cannot help you, Jesus is all that. You can have him on your side when you need him most. I'll never leave you nor forsake you. My father in love was sick unto death. A long time ago, they called us to the bedside and said, in the next 24 hours or 48 hours, you'll have a decision. But he was sitting there. He was reciting verses. He was praying. He was singing. He was doing everything that he knew of, because he knew Jesus was all that. And he knew that the doctors and the nurses weren't the final answer of his fate. And he sits here today, still praising God, still working for God, still loving God, still acknowledging God. He'll say to you right now, Jesus is all that. As Christians, we have very little in this world, but we are rich in hope. And that hope is free for the asking. Jesus said, put your trust in me, not in this world. He will forgive us of the past. He will help guide us through our present life. He will give us hope for the future. Jesus is all that. Peter tells us in my text, the choice of salvation is not optional. For he said, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou art the words of the eternal life. Only Jesus can give us salvation. Neither is there salvation in any other. For there is none under the name, under heaven, given among men, whereby we must be saved. Salvation comes first, and only from God and Jesus, God in the flesh. The salvation question is already settled. Peter said, thou hast the words. We must go to Jesus Christ for the blessed assurance and the security. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I will give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Jesus is all that. My Father, which gave them to me, is greater than all. Jesus is all that. And no man is able to pluck them out of the Father's hand. Jesus is all that to the lost. He is the way. To the dead, he is life. To the liar, he is the truth. To the prayer, he is amen. To the numerals, he is the first. To heaven, he is the firstborn. To the sheepfold, he is the door. To the mighty, he is the almighty. To the soldier, he is the fortress. To time, he is the ancient of days. To the servant, he is the God master. Jesus is all that. To the sheep, he is the good shepherd. To the church, he is the chief bishop. To the baker, he is the bread of life. Jesus is all that. To the sick, he is the good physician. To the journalist, he is the good news. To the fields, he is the corn of wheat. To the thirsty, he is the water of life. I just came by 9055 TUI Drive to tell you Jesus is all that. To the sinner, he is the author of salvation. To the heavy laden, he is the burden bearer. To the world and the lost in sin, he is the Savior. Jesus is all that. To the farmer, he is the early and latter rain. To the child of God, he is the Holy Ghost baptizer. To hundreds, he is the fairest of 10,000s. To the animal lover, he is the lion in the tribe of Judah. I just want somebody to know that Jesus is all that. Jesus is all that. Jesus is all that. Thank you. My brothers and sisters, Jesus is all that you need. As I take my seat, I want you to remember he had no home, but he promised believers a mansion. He had no bakery, deacons, but he produced and fed 5,000 in loaves. He had no pills or hospital, but yet he healed the sick. He had no money, yet he paid his friends' taxes. He attended no college, yet he taught not as the scribes, but was one having the authority of holding a PhD degree. He's all that. He was born in a borrowed stable. He was laid in a borrowed cattle manger. He used as his pulpit a borrowed boat. He fed thousands with a borrowed lunch. He bought and taught from a borrowed book. He slept in a borrowed bed. He rode as king on a borrowed donkey. He observed the Last Supper in a borrowed room. He was mocked as king in a borrowed robe. He was crucified on a borrowed cross. He was buried in a borrowed tomb. But early, good God have mercy, early one Sunday morning, when the women went to roll away the stone, they found in the tomb the stone had been rolled away. Jesus is all that. And he's all that we need. Jesus rolled away the rock that sealed the rock, that entombed the rock, that was the rock of ages. And the rock of ages walked out in the heart with the rock of all power in his hand of heaven and earth. Jesus rose in the midst with all power because he's all that. When you've been lied on, know he's all that. When you've been spit on, know that he's all that. When you've been misused and abused, know that he's all that. When snares are placed in your way, notice that he's all that. When stumbling blocks are placed in your way, notice that he's all that. When they steal from you, notice that he's all that. We are tired, he is the giver. When we are sick, he's our doctor. My Lord and Savior, I went to him one day. I was once weary, I was wounded. And I was sad. But I found in him the resting place. And he has made me glad. I shall ever proclaim him. I shall ever worship him. I shall ever adore him. I shall never acknowledge him as my all in all. Because Jesus is all that. To God be the glory.
Jesus is all.